The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
So hello and welcome to the loverugbyleague.com podcast, also brought to you via Radio General, Warrington's Hospital Radio. This is, of course, the final hooter. I'm Dave Parkinson, your host for this particular episode, and I hope that I find you well. Now, what we're going to be doing over the next few minutes is looking at the Challenge Cup. We'll look at Super League, bring you up to date with two rounds of the Championship and two rounds of League One. We've got a whole succession of guests tonight, so it's going to be a tightly packed show. We're going to hear from Kieran Cunningham from St Helens, Sean Wayne from Wigan, Jodie Broughton of the Catalan Dragons, Tony Smith of the Warrington Wolves, Neil Dukes, the head coach of Lee Centurions, Rowan Smith, the head coach of Bradford Bulls, and Paul March, the head coach of Keighley Cougars. But we are going to start a little bit differently, because usually we dip straight headlong into Super League and be telling you over what's going on, but I think there's a more important story to bring to everyone's attention, and that concerns the community club Lee East, a club that's close to where I live. And recently they've announced plans to fundraise to do heart screening. So, forward thinking Lee East are the fundraising to provide players at the club with heart screening. In a first for a community club, the Kingstone Press National Conference Division 2 side have enlisted the help of Danny Jones Defibrillator Fund, the Adam Lewis Effect Foundation, and Cardiac Risk in the Young. Up to 12 young people die a week as a result of undiagnosed heart conditions, and Lee East would like everyone eligible from 14 to 35 to take part in two screening days being penciled in for January and April 2017. The cost of screening 200 players and volunteers is £7,000, but East see it as peace of mind and already have a working defibrillator on site since 7th of April. Now, at the weekend, they welcomed Lizzie Jones from the Danny Jones Defibrillator Fund, and this is what she had to say to me. I was fortunate enough to speak to her, and you know, sometimes when you do end up meeting somebody for the first time, and you realise just what an inspirational person that person is. Well, I got exactly that feeling from Lizzie. Here's my interview with her. So, joined by Lizzie Jones, we're here at Lee East, and just give us a little bit of an idea of why you've come down today, Liz.
Hi, I've come to this fabulous club through Danny's charity. The club applied for a grant. They already have defibrillators, so they asked if it were possible that they could have the money for screening, which was absolutely delighted about. I wanted to come to the club as the first club to have that idea and just tell the players what a fantastic club they're part of and how lucky they are to have that opportunity to be screened at this level by their club, and you know, just to sort of set lead by example and set the point really, and hopefully other clubs will follow on in their footsteps.
As far as you know, this would be the first amateur club to do that, wouldn't
yes.
it, which is a fantastic thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Like I said, when it came up in the meeting, I was really, really quite overwhelmed. You know, I personally never thought that would happen, and for a club to just do it off their own back is just fabulous.
I think you've given a lot of people a lot of strength with how you've developed this, you know, personal tragedy into taking it forward. You know, it's been a whirlwind sort of year for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I said just in the presentation then that this morning on Facebook, it popped up a year ago today that the Championship and Championship 1 teams, it would be compulsory that they're screened. I can't believe it's been a year. It's been a whirlwind of a year, like I say, but it's been a fantastic year of real positive steps forward within rugby league, and yeah, the strength that I'm showing has come through the rugby league family as well. It's not all down to me and my family. It's through the support from the rugby league family, and I'll never be able to thank them enough for that. It's been incredible.
You launched your foundation come February, was it, this year?
Yes.
And that's going really well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I looked on the Just Giving page the other day, it was up to like £17,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot in a short space of time.
Yeah, we're nearing 20 now. Obviously, we had the fabulous donation from Ronan Costello's family of any funds being raised for him going straight to Danny's charity, which was absolutely just, I was just blown away by it. The, to for them to be going through what they're going through in such sadness, to think about other people is a testament to the people that they are. But yeah, it's nearing on 20 now and it's going up. We've got lots of people doing lots of charity events and lots of fundraising going on, so I'm sure that will nearing on double by the end of next year. There's 31 clubs in the leagues below Championship, Championship 1, who have all got defibrillators now.
Brilliant.
Which is just incredible. The applications are coming in thick and fast, and the defibs are going out thick and fast as well, which is just fantastic. The charity's going from strength to strength.
Radio General is a registered charity and is run by a dedicated group of volunteers. Each member provides a regular commitment to the station for no monetary reward. If you'd like to help Radio General and think you could demonstrate the commitment needed, then write to us for an application form. Our address is Radio General, Warrington Hospital, Lovely Lane, Warrington, WA5 1QG. Or check out the website for more details at www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
We heard there from Lizzie Jones talking about the Danny Jones Defibrillator Fund and also the fact that she visited Lee East on Saturday to discuss with them their plans for heart screening of their players and volunteers. I then caught up with Lee East chairman Dave Coyle, and this is what he had to say to me.
Now Lizzie's set her foundation up, we've been in contact with her, and basically from that they've come down to support the club and also support the screening that we're going to do through TAIL, which is the Adam Lewis effect, and we've got CRY coming down for 2 days next year to actually do the testing for our 14 and up year old years of age. They're going to get all tested and make sure that as a club we're safe, so that's what it's all about.
I believe this is the first for any amateur club in the country.
Yes, it is, and we want to make quite a big thing of it, because as far as Lee East is concerned, we're one club and we like to be part of one family as well. We want to look after everyone that comes in, not just for actually playing, but taking it further in their life, and if we can affect anybody's life through that and help them, that's what we want to do.
So it was mentioned before that there could be a couple of events in the planning stages for helping to raise funds towards it, because although you're looking at the funding towards it, it's still quite expensive the first time, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to cost us in the region of £7,000, which we've got some charity backing for. We've already had a couple of events that's raised in the region of £3,000, and we're looking to have the next one for it as a masquerade ball in September, which again we're looking to raise a good amount of money to put towards this. And as I said, the Adam Lewis effect are backing that as far as the charity, and then what we are doing is giving them the money, they're backing us, and we're going to give them money to try and back other clubs to get it done as well.
So you're hoping for a domino effect, really, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah. Definitely, that's exactly what we want. So it's just a case of taking it through, whether it be rugby league or other sports, so that's what we want to do.
Yes, so there you heard from Dave Coyle, and it would be great to hear how they're progressing with that in getting all their players screened. Now, a little bit more information, just in case you're wondering. Lee East, he mentioned there about a masquerade ball. That's being held on Saturday the 10th of September. The night's due to start at 7:30, and the tickets are £10 each and available by calling 078-009-12495. Now, just to give you a little bit more information about those other couple of charities that are involved with raising the funds, there is the Adam Lewis Effect. They're actually based in Warrington and were founded in June 2014 after Adam died suddenly. The foundation has a simple aim at that, to raise awareness of sudden arrhythmic death syndrome and to provide cardiac screening in the hope of preventing death in young people in the Northwest. You heard him mention CRY there. Now, CRY is the cardiac risk in the young, and it aims to reduce the frequency of young sudden cardiac death. They have a mobile screening team of medically qualified personnel and will be administering the screening. And then you also heard Lizzie Jones talking about the Danny Jones Defibrillator Fund, which is available via the internet. So if you put that into any search engine, you will find out more information about that. Again, great cause, something that I hope all the rugby league family gets behind.
Feel better. The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, let us move onto the Super League. So we have one round of fixtures to catch up on since our last broadcast. And here are the results. Well, on Thursday the 16th of June, Widnes took on Wigan. It finished Widnes 0, Wigan 7. We've got some feedback coming from that from none other than Sean Wayne. It was Salford 30, Huddersfield 31. Danny Brough proving the difference there again, as he has done so often in the past with a drop goal. St Helens 48, Hull Kingston Rovers 16. Hull KR were actually leading in this one by 12 points to nil at one point, but St Helens, they fought back. They had a great second half, and what a memorable evening it was from Adam Swift. He scored 4 tries. We'll again be having some feedback from that particular fixture. In the other game that took place on Friday the 17th of June, it was Wakefield 6, Leeds 32. Only the second, well, the first time, to be honest, since Leeds lifted the Super League trophy back in October last year, that they have been able to string together successive victories. And it was a big performance from Liam Sutcliffe in particular. He scored a try and kicked 8 goals, while there was also 2 tries from front row forward Brad Singleton. The Cumbrian certainly getting to grips with the Wakefield pack. The only other game which took place on Sunday the 19th of June featured Castleford Tigers taking on Hull FC. There was 10,700 plus people in attendance over there at Weldon Road, or the Jungle, or whatever we're going to call it, the Menderhose Jungle, I think is its official name, isn't it? And they saw Denny Solomona take his try-scoring tally to the season to 24 with 2 tries, but they didn't see a Castleford victory. Hull won it in the end by 24 points to 22. A sensational last-minute victory. I promised some reaction, and first of all, we'll hear from Sean Wayne. So this is Sean speaking after his side defeated Widnes by 7 points to nil. He was speaking to Adrian Jackson.
More than satisfied. I thought we was easily the best team. The character was sure with the players we've had out before the game and the injuries we suffered in the game. I thought it was a great effort. So one of the best wins of the year by far.
And great in defence as well.
Yeah, we defended well. You know, a little bit dumb in the first half, but I thought we controlled the game really well. But without a doubt, the best team won.
And with the injuries that you have got, it gives some youngsters an opportunity. And they really stood up to the challenge, didn't they?
Oh, the good. You know, we have a good coaching structure. Our junior coaches are very, very good. And them kids what's coming in, they're doing a great job. Jake didn't look like he was making his debut. He looked very accomplished, and I'm very proud of what he did.
Is that a rarity for you guys to be 0-0 at half time? Have you been involved in the game like that?
I think I will have been in my career, but I can't remember many. But to nil them, the way they've been scoring their points, is a great effort for us.
And what's the mood like at half time?
It was a bit frustrating because we didn't really test them enough, and I thought in the second half we did, and we snagged a try and smeagled a drop goal. But I thought we had more chances than Widnes. I thought we definitely deserved to win, and the desire was showing, and that never said die attitude to win games is outstanding.
All the mistakes both teams are making, is that frustrating as a coach to sit through that?
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I understand the conditions today were terrible. And, you know, for me to have, I've got front row playing in my half, so I've got centre playing in my back row, and I've got players all over the place. So when you consider everything, it was a great, satisfying win.
So Sean Wayne there, satisfied that his team was able to chalk up a 7 points to nil victory against Widnes. Now, I was in the crowd for that one, and I have to admit, well, it was a terrible game of rugby league. There was lots and lots of errors, so many mistakes. I think there must have been 40 in total. It was very similar to the previous week's game that had been on television between Warrington and Hull, but the conditions, like Sean Wayne alluded to there, were just atrocious. Eventually, though, they did get over the try line, Josh Charnley scoring the only try, and there was a goal and drop goal from Matty Smith. Now, before I indicated that we'd be hearing from Kieran Cunningham, so Kieran Cunningham caught up with our man Steve Manning in the aftermath of his St Helens side winning 48 points to 16 against Hull Kingston Rovers.
Hull KR started great. They started really great, and I don't want to take anything away from them. They came and fought from minute one, but I just don't think. I think we had a lot of nervous energy about everything we were doing in that first period. You know, we sort of just couldn't get going, and you know, it wasn't for lack of trying, and our completion rates were really, really high, so we didn't drop any balls, but we just didn't have the ball in the right area. And in the first half, we had four good ball sets going down their end of the field, and we get two penalties and we score two tries. It's, you know, so we knew we had the capability to score plenty of points, so we just had to do the right things in other areas. And, you know, and the pleasing thing is we really firmed the defence up in the second half. You know, we did a great job defensively, and we put out a lot of fires that were potentially going to happen. And, you know, I think we paused 40 points maybe, and they might have paused it four maybe. So, you know, it was a good second half for us, a real good second half.
No disrespect to what's been happening this last few weeks, it was like the old Saints. Your confidence just seemed to come back, didn't it?
No, I mean, it's tough, isn't it? You can't sort of put that in your place. You know, that happens with performances, that happens with you know, your players doing well for periods of weeks. So, you know, we've come off the back of a real tough month. That's where we've come off. You know, we've played three of the best sides in the competition, and, you know, we probably should have come away with something from at least two of the games. And, you know, the players are going to be down and feel a little bit hard done to, and because they work hard for no results. So, you know, they've come out tonight and they've probably played a little bit within themselves that first 30 minutes, but they really, really, once they got flowing and things started going in the right direction for us, you know, we really, really let our shackles off. And, you know, we organised the game well and we controlled the game well and we was real clinical with all our players. And, you know, I thought the two halves, in Jordan Turner and John Wilkin, you know, they controlled the game really well. The game management was good, and, you know, we put the right players on in the right areas, and it just affected everything we did. And you combine that with a good pack and your outside backs doing well, it you know, that's the recipe for doing good things.
And finally, Swift swooped for four, and it could have been five perhaps for a blade on the blade of grass.
Yeah, I'd have loved to have seen a big screen of it. That's what I'd have loved to, for, you know, I was a fair bit away from it to make a decision. But yeah, he's been through the mill a little bit, Swifty, in the last few weeks, and, you know, he has been a little bit up and down, so he deserves all the plaudits, as do all the boys. You know, this isn't about, it's not about me or anybody else, this is about the players, you know. And, you know, it's good the players put on a real good performance for the fans tonight. You know, I think they've backed us through thick and thin. You know, and the showing at Catalan last week was just phenomenal. You know, the herd stood up on the back of my neck when I went out in a cinema, you know, and they're your true fans, you know. That's what Saints is about, that, you know. Through thick and thin, we just stand tall for each other.
That win doesn't change anything as far as the table is concerned. St Helens still down in fifth position. You wouldn't have expected that at the start of the season, would you? They are having one of the worst seasons that they have had in the last 20 years. They've won 10 games, but they've also lost 9. They're also still in minus point differential on the table. They've scored 460, they've conceded 472, but that win lifting the gloom that's been knocking around at Langtree Park, and maybe they can look forward with confidence now. Certainly Kieran Cunningham was sounding a lot more confident there, wasn't he? Another guy that's sounding confident despite his side going down to Warrington was Catalan Dragons winger Jodie Broughton. Now you'd think, after Kurt Gidley pots a goal kick, a penalty, with 7 minutes left, he'd be a little bit down in the dumps, but he wasn't. He caught up with Adrian Jackson and had a good chat with him.
A brave effort by the Catalans, just fell short right at the end, though.
Yeah, I think it was only a discipline that, you know, probably give Warrington the head up today. Obviously, we were down on personnel. I think 15 of the 19-man squad were all Frenchies, all born in France. And, you know, I think that just shows, a lot of people have been saying that we're the Catalan Kangaroos and we've got, you know, more imports, and it's not really fair. But, you know, that just goes to show what talent we have got coming through. And I think these lads will, you know, be the future of the club, and we can be very proud of our effort today.
They stood up to the task as well, some of them. Young ones.
Yeah, I mean, Warrington had a full strength squad out. You know, they played really well. They give it to us. They tried to bully us in patches, and I think, you know, we held our own. Obviously, it's always difficult coming away. Obviously, it's a big away for us as well. Yeah. I thought we played really well, and I'm really proud of our performance today.
Just seem to be hell bent on just getting something, because every time you've got a penalty, Pat seems to run a goal for the goal just to keep the scoreboard ticking over.
Yeah, I mean, that was our game plan. Obviously, we had a little bit of inexperience out there today, so we probably wanted to keep the game plan simple. So every time we got an opportunity downfield, we wanted to keep chipping away and grinding Warrington away. And, you know, they like to play a fast flowing game. You know, they like to play expansively. They've got backs that like to get in there, so we wanted to slow them down. And, you know, I think we did that for the most part of the game. You know, we were struggling in parts. We went down to 12 men. I think we conceded maybe one or two tries in that period, but, you know, like I said, it was a valiant effort from the lads, and we're very proud of it.
At times they seem to frustrate Warrington and the home fans as well, so the plans seem to work.
Yeah, I suppose it did, yeah. But, you know, it's just game management. I think Todd Carney were outstanding today. You know, really took charge. And, you know, Luca, the young halfback, he's only 17. He's really stepping up to the plate and he's learning a lot from Toddy. And, you know, we've got a big game next week, so we've got to dust ourselves off and go into that.
Despite the defeat, there's plenty of positives to take from it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, no one had the head down, and, you know, like for embarrassment reasons. You know, everyone was just disappointed with the loss because we were so close, considering, you know, the amount of effort that we put in and the desire that we showed to win today. So, you know, everyone can be proud of the performance today, and we can move on to next week.
Cup games against Hull, you'd be looking forward to it, won't you?
Yeah, it's a place where I started. It's always a tough place to go. We've lost twice to LFC this year, and obviously they're in form team at the minute, so they'll be looking for the win. It's going to be a tough one. If we stick to our game plan, even if we field the same team we fielded out today, I'm confident we can get the win.
And just looking at the rest of the games before the split, Castellans looked pretty safe for the top eight.
Yeah, that was one of our goals. We needed to be in the top four going into the end of it, but obviously we've still got a few tough games coming up. We've got Castaway, we've got Wigan at home. We need to pick up some points there as well, because we don't want, you know, the leaders pulling away. So it's going to be a tough few weeks, and I think obviously I think today shows that we've got strength in depth. So, you know, hopefully we can get a few lads back fit, and then, you know, it's the coach's job to make the selection after that.
One final question: are you enjoying life over in the south of France?
Yeah, it's very different to over here. Obviously the weather's a lot nicer, it's a different vibe out there, and, you know, the people are really, the Catalan people are, you know, really proud of the Catalan Dragons. You know, every time you go out, if after a win or after, you know, a performance, you go into a cafe and people are cheering you and stuff. You know, they absolutely love it, and I know to the French people that the Catalan Cup's probably the main thing, so, you know, be looking to get that win next week.
Have you picked up the lingo yet?
Yeah, je parle un petit peu le français maintenant.
What's that mean?
I speak a little bit of French now.
Certainly knows more French than I do, and by the sounds of it, more than my oppo Adrian Jackson, who sadly can't be in the studio tonight. But a good little interview there with Jody Broughton. Sounds like he's really settling in. But what did that win by Warrington do to the Super League table? Well, Hull, after 19 rounds, are out on top with 30 points. Wigan are in second with 28 points. Warrington third with 26, separated on point difference from the Catalans Dragons, who also have 26 points. Saints are in fifth, Wakefield sixth, seventh are Castleford Tigers, eighth Widnes Vikings, and then your bottom four currently with four rounds to go: Hull Kingston Rovers, Salford Red Devils, Huddersfield Giants and Leeds Rhinos. But it's all getting a little bit close, a little bit condensed. But will any of them rise up from that area? I wonder.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General and via loverugbyleague.com. We are the podcast for loverugbyleague.com, and I'm delighted that we've been able to take us through what's happened in the Super League so far. Now, also looking at what's gone on in the past week, we've had Challenge Cup quarterfinals, haven't we? So let me quickly take you through the results of the games. It was Huddersfield 16, Wakefield 28. That was played on Thursday night. The Friday night game saw Warrington eke out Widnes by 20 points to 18. Hull managed to account for Catalans Dragons by 22 points to 8, and Wigan had a commanding performance at home against Castleford, winning 26 points to 12. But to look a little bit more in depth at those games, Huddersfield, well, they scored 4 tries, as did Wakefield, but it was the goal kicking of Liam Finn that proved the difference. So Huddersfield grabbing tries on the night through Scott Gricks, Jake Connor, and 2 from long-serving wingman Jermaine McGilvery. In response, Wakefield had tries from new signing prop forward David Fifita. He grabbed 2 tries. Ben Jones-Bishop and Tom Johnstone, the other try scorers, with Liam Finn booting 6 goals. Unfortunately for Danny Brough, whilst he won the game the previous week against Salford, he couldn't come up with a match-winning performance for Huddersfield Giants, and they tumbled out of the competition. A Kurt Gidley penalty was the difference between Warrington and Widnes. He kicked it after 73 minutes. Ironically, 73 minutes was the time when he also struck the previous week to down the Catalans Dragons. There were tries for Warrington by Jack Hughes, Kevin Penny and Brad Dwyer, with Widnes responding through tries themselves through Joe Meller, Matt Whitley and Charlie Runciman, Rhys Hanbury kicking 3 goals. Let us now hear from Tony Smith about the game.
Pretty good, yeah. Had a bit of everything. Yeah, we're not quite at our our best by any means, but I got to put a lot of that down to Widnes, and I thought they tried really hard, and it was a good graft and a tough, and it kept people on the edge of the seats, probably no more so than me. You know, it was, yeah, it was one of those where, hey, a bounce of a ball or a call here or there could have turned, you know, turned the whole game on its head. You know, for the spectators, that's brilliant. When you're a coach, you want to be a bit more space between the two teams. But, they came here for a game. We knew they would. Local derby, you wouldn't expect anything else. We're probably not silky smooth at the moment with some of our attacks, so we're probably taking a few more penalties than what we normally would. And conditions a little bit to do with that. It's not easy out there at the moment. You know, it's some of those slippery balls and, you know, it was, yeah, we thought points on the board would be the right way to go at that stage, but, you know, a little bit scrappy in that first half. One of the tries that we gave away was just, you know, poor handling from us, and they took full advantage of it, which they got players capable of doing that. And, the other one was, the other big call, I thought, was the Ben Curry no try. And they say they saw a knock-on, but I don't know if anybody else saw a knock-on, anybody from the video screens. We can't find a knock-on, but they found a knock-on there somehow. Could have made it a little bit easier for us, but that's the way it goes. Those video refs sometimes, so those calls are toss of the coin, and it can go for you some days and go against you. So we've got to cop that, but other than that, yeah, good game. It wasn't an error-free game, and it wasn't, you know, a classic pretty game of rugby league. It was a grafting game. It was a war of attrition, and effort from both teams were enormous. I think both coaches should be proud of their team's efforts. There's some areas that we need to improve again. You know, I thought some of our kick chase there at the end of the game was pretty average, and it kept them with some hope when we should have been, smoother and silkier with that. But yeah, there's some issues that we've got to sort out before we go to the next round of the cup, or even before we go to, you know, next week in next round of Super League. That's an important one for us over at Hull KR.
Hull, meanwhile, they had it quite comfortable really against Catalan, although it was only 12-4 at half time. They really did take command in the second half. There were tries from Michaels, Pritchard and Houghton, with Sneed kicking 5 goals. And in response, the Catalans, well, they were spirited. They had tries themselves through Garcia and Yaha, but they were second best. Wigan did most of the damage in the first half. They were leading 22-0, thanks to tries from Sargentson, Sam Tompkins and 2 from Josh Charnley. There was only the 1 try in the second half for Wigan and 2 tries for Castleford, but I tell you what, if that was a try for Dominic Manfredi, then I will eat my hat. I couldn't believe that when it got sent upstairs as a try, they ended up giving it. There wasn't even any downward pressure. There was nothing on it. It seemed like he'd missed it. If anything, he just touched it with his little finger, but there was no downward pressure on it. I can't see for the life of me how that ended up being a try. Anyway, that's something that I'm sure I could discuss in far more detail, but you don't want to hear me moaning, do you? You want to hear me get on with the show. So that brought up the semi-finals. The draw was made, and Wigan will face Hull at Doncaster on Friday night, the 29th of July, with Warrington taking on Wakefield at the Lee Sports Village on Saturday, the 30th of July. So two intriguing semi-finals right there. It's just going to get hotter and hotter, isn't it, in the Challenge Cup.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
So now, let's dip our toes into the Championship. 2 rounds of fixtures to bring you up to date with. Now, you may remember that the last broadcast of the final hooter, we actually took it on the road. I was over at Staley Bridge. It was a game between Oldham and Bradford. Bradford were facing their second game in the space of 7 days. And they took on Oldham, and they beat them 48-4. Now, it was functional. It wasn't particularly exciting, was the game. But, they got the job done, and they got the job done at the weekend following that as well. So on the 19th of June, here are the results from round 18 of the Kingston Press Championship. It was Bradford Bulls 17, Batley 16, Dewsbury Rams 8, Halifax 24, Featherstone Rovers 30, Whitehaven 18, Lee Centurions 54, Workington Town 12, London Broncos 56, Oldham 16 and Swinton Lions 22, Sheffield Eagles 18. A surprise result there for Swinton Lions, which helps lift them a little bit further up in the table and away from the relegation spots. Oldham, well, they seem to be hemorrhaging plenty of points at the moment, and there was a real good performance there from Api Peferangi in being able to kick 8 goals in that win. There was plenty of controversy as Bradford beat Batley, and there was a crucial try that was awarded Bradford's way, where on second look it looked like the Batley man had got there first. So as you can imagine, plenty of unhappy Batley fans and an unhappy Batley coach leaving Bradford that week. Round 19 saw Sheffield Eagles defeat Featherstone Rovers 35 points to 10. This was a turn up for the Bucks and featured a really good performance from Corey Aston. He scored a try, set a couple up and also booted 3 goals. Michael Knowles also chipped in with a rare drop goal. And Featherstone, well, after that defeat, have they lost the chance of getting in the top four? Here were the rest of the results from round 19. On Sunday, the 26th of June, Batley hosted Dewsbury Rams and beat them by 18 points to 16. Bradford Bulls lost to Halifax by 24 points to 32. We'll be hearing a little bit more about that in a moment. Oldham picked up a morale-boosting victory against Whitehaven by 26 points to 18. And Workington held Swinton Lions to a 10-all draw at Derwent Park. Let us hear about the Bradford situation now. You know, they have been a little bit up and down, in all honesty, since their new boss, Rowan Smith, walked into the place. They were a bit inconsistent before. Currently, they find themselves sitting in an almost unbelievable fifth position. And here's what Rowan Smith had to say to the press after the game. This the game against Halifax.
Rowan, tough afternoon.
Yeah, they're all tough games. Disappointing performance in some aspects, particularly defensively. Thought the score in the end was probably the reflection of the game. We created some opportunities and inroads, and we looked like creating something most sets there for a period of time, but we didn't capitalise on that with points, and then we just lacked connection in defence today. There were people trying too hard at times, and that allowed Halifax some quite simple opportunities.
Because you've set the benchmark high since you've come here in your first 6 games in charge, and obviously that must hurt the relative ease in that second half. Halifax were on the metres forward.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the two plays in the second half that turned the game around were the free play there, which was an interesting play, and then, you know, the kick defence where we just kind of gifted them a try there. So they were two big plays that changed the momentum on the scoreboard, and we weren't able to regroup today and put the scoreboard out of play and just focus on the task at hand. I thought the guys that played did their best, so it's never about who's not playing, it's always about who is playing.
So next week a big game against Lena.
They're all big games, Mick, every one of them, every week. Until I'm not here anymore, every single game I'll treat the same.
So there was Rowan Smith speaking in the aftermath of a close defeat against local rivals Halifax, who have now won 4 games on the bounce against the Bulls. Our thanks go to Mick Gledhill for sending through that audio. There was a big game which took place in the capital. It was second taking on the first place team, London Broncos, at home to Lee Centurions. It was billed as the battle of the big guns in the championship, and to be honest, in the first half one big gun turned up. That was Lee Centurions. They established a 28-0 half time advantage. Early tries from Josh Drinkwater and Corey Patterson set the tone, Lee Smith kicking 3 of his 5 goals to open up a 14 points to nil advantage. There was then a touchdown for Greg Worthington, and Liam Kay completed the first half rout. In the second half, London Broncos certainly fought back. They were much improved. Mark Ione, who had been sin-binned in the first half, managed to atone by getting 4 points of his own before Api Peferangi, who I mentioned before, he seems like a great player for London Broncos. Very sparky in attack. He was involved in everything that was good. He danced past 3-4 defenders, went straight under the post, kicked a couple of goals as well. But Lee, they kept chipping away. They kept in front of London Broncos. Second half tries from Adam Higson, a lovely finish in the right corner, and Greg Worthington slicing through for his second try. Lee Smith upping his goal tally to 5 for the game, and ultimately a commanding performance by the Centurions. After the game, I caught up with Neil Dukes to hear his thoughts.
Well, Neil, convincing performance, especially first half. What do you put that down to?
I just think there was an appetite for the game. Spoke all week about, you know, the journey and the plastic pitch and all that, and we can write all the technical bits down on a long piece of paper, but if we didn't have an appetite for the game, then we won't get close to them. And I just, again, early on, our defence, our contact was superb. Our mentality with the ball, what we're trying to achieve was the bigger picture, and try and strangle the team from minute one. And certainly with the amount of repeat sets we had to defend, it just showed me our attitude was nailed on. Our last defensive set, I think we tackled one on their line, and I don't think we forced an error. We made them kick probably from about 15 metres out, and I just thought whilst the focus and the energy and all that and our contact were good, just to not give a penalty away, I just thought, you know, you get to in them corners and obviously fans are getting behind them, you're waiting for giving that penalty for escape, but we didn't give them an opportunity. Our contact were good, we got better meter behind ref, and that's when I thought, you know, as well as our attitude and our commitment, I just thought our focus and attention to detail was brilliant.
Because that was as commanding a first half as we've seen all season, really, right?
Yeah, definitely. We knew they'd come out in the second half. So again, it was the first four sets I think they completed. We had an horrible start. They kicked off, and obviously we let it go dead. And the next one, I think we dropped on player one. So we thought, here we go again. But I thought, whilst, you know, we got the sin bin with Liam, which knocked us a little bit sidewards, and then obviously Travis came off with 20 to go, 15 to go. He just knocked us a little bit sideways. But what was good was just again, we just said the same word. We strangled the team, didn't give them any opportunities, forced some good errors because our contact remained good, and I probably finished the talk at half time probably on a little bit of a negative, but it's the first time we've been well ahead on a big team since Bradford, and we didn't come away with points on that day. So it was important that they realised momentum can swing, and we've got to keep doing the simple things, the little things, to make sure we stay well ahead, and we did that.
Does that show you the development of the team and how it's come on over the last few weeks?
Yeah, and the experiences we've had from the team, some good, some bad. The wins sometimes have been bad experiences, but again, I think you know, we're going in the right direction to keep a point like a team like London to 12 points, which again it was 12, wasn't it? So yeah, 12. Somebody called it half time when I came to nil, but without being too disrespectful, we wanted to go to 12. I think 12 last week, I think 10 week before. So we're growing in confidence with our defence, structure wise, our contact. But yeah, just really pleased for the boys. Be a good journey on.
So that was Neil Dukes, the Lee Centurions boss, and he came in for his first year of criticism early on in the season when he inherited the side, took over. They lost the first game over at Batley, but they haven't lost since, and it's that run of results that have cemented, or virtually cemented, top spot for the Lee Centurions. There's four games to go in the championship. Lee out on top, winning 35 points, so just, in theory, three more points could be enough to secure a third successive top of the league trophy as far as Lee Centurions are concerned. London Broncos lost a bit of ground there on 30 points in second place. There's a real battle developing between four clubs though for the remaining two spots heading into the eights, the qualifiers. Halifax currently are the team to beat. They're in third spot with 25 points. Batley also have 25 points. Bradford down in fifth, like I mentioned, with 11 wins from their 19 games and two draws chucked in for good measure as well. And Featherstone Rovers, now, they would have been kicking themselves with the way that they lost to Sheffield on the Friday night. There's plenty of twists and turns, I feel, to come in the championship, that is for sure.
Radio General is a registered charity and is run by a dedicated group of volunteers. Each member provides a regular commitment to the station for no monetary reward. If you'd like to help Radio General and think you could demonstrate the commitment needed, then write to us for an application form. Our address is Radio General, Warrington Hospital, Lovely Lane, Warrington, WA5 1QG, or check out the website for more details at www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
And as that last promotion said, we are now available on the internet. We are broadcasting this live, but you'll also be able to catch up with it on loverugbyleague.com a little bit later on when I've got round to taking it off and editing it. I'm Dave Parkinson. You are listening to this.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Now, I wanted to dip into League One as well to bring an update of kind of the goings on, what's been happening there. And I'll start off with the round that started on the 18th of June. That saw Toulouse Olympique defeat Keighley Cougars by 84-6. Unbelievable scoreline that. Matt Carella scoring 4 tries and kicking 12 goals. He is certainly one heck of a player at that level of rugby. Action then switched to Sunday with Oxford losing at home to York City Knights by 50-6. Hunslet having too much for Coventry Bears, winning 38-18 at the South Leeds Stadium. Newcastle Thunder gave a spirited showing at home against Rochdale Hornets, but it was the Hornets that won through by 38-30. South Wales Scorpions were similarly dogged against the London Scholars, but the Scholars ended up winning that one by 22-6. And North Wales Crusaders had some success on the road against the University of Gloucestershire All Golds, winning by 30-18. Barrow completed the round with a 62-4 rout of Hemel Stags. And then the last weekend started off on Saturday the 25th of June with London Scholars going down to Doncaster by 30-10. Coventry Bears also copped a bit of a loss as well, losing 14-32 at home to Newcastle Thunder. On the Sunday, Hemel Stags went down heavily, 6-60 against Rochdale Hornets. North Wales Crusaders were very brave in defeat against Toulouse Olympique, but Olympique going home with a 32-14 win. South Wales Scorpions were similarly dogged once again against Hunslet Hawks, but lost out by 24-36, while York City Knights put 50 points on the University of Gloucestershire All Golds, winning 56-12. The one result that I didn't mention there was Keighley Cougars. They were taking on Barrow in the game of the round, and as far as the Keighley Cougars were concerned, they went down to a late 34-32 defeat. Our man there was Joshua Chapman, and he caught up with their boss Paul March after the game.
Paul, defeats are hard to take at the best of time. That must be an absolute sickener.
It was. You know, probably both coaches would be happy with a point going into that last play of the game. 50-50 call probably if he did get charged down or not. But like I said, he was cool as a cucumber kicking that goal, and you know, it's bitter that we're on wrong side of that. But you know, we must go on. You know, last week we had a massive disappointment over at Toulouse, where there were no effort and commitment to shown towards each other. Today I thought we were committed, and for everybody who were here, the effort were there. I just don't think at times we were smart enough. I think we had a lot of ball in that second half and spilt the ball on first or second tackle when we should be building pressure. We're getting repeat sets, and and when that happens, the other side get the momentum back, and it's how you handle it. And I don't think we handled it quite as good today. But like I said, some big games coming up. We need to dust ourselves down, and hopefully we get the effort and smart rugby league from our side next week at Rochdale.
Obviously, you mentioned the penalty decision there. Both sides of the press in the press box thought it was a bit contentious. What were your thoughts on it?
One of them referees got a good view of it. It's he's made the decision, but at the end of the day, it was given, and he had an opportunity to kick the goal. And when you give someone an opportunity in the last second to win the game, like I said, he was cool as a cucumber putting it over. And we've been on the end of some of them wins, but like I said, it's bitter to take when you're on the other end. And like I said, especially when the Utah had gone, we could have just rolled the ball out and took the point.
So that was Joshua Chapman speaking there to Keithley Cougars head coach Paul March in the aftermath of a narrow loss, 34 points to 32. That's just about us done and dusted on the final hooter for another week.